Welcome once again, everyone, to a Baseball America podcast, college style, along with Aaron Fitt. I'm John Manuel. Get ready for 13 weeks of this. It's the college baseball Division I season is underway. It's going to be compressed. It's going to be compacted. It's going to be action-packed every weekend. No more of this stuff where one team's played 10 games, Aaron, and somebody else has played none. Our biggest disparity right now looks like it's 4-1. We got Wichita State only got one game in, and several of our top 25 teams have played four, but a very eventful first weekend, so let's dive right in. Right off the top, our rankings have their change at the top. As preseason number one, UCLA splits two games with Oklahoma, and Arizona, preseason number two, their highest ranking since 1993. The Wildcats win 2 of 3 on the road at Georgia, Aaron, and they jump up to that number one spot. Kind of an easy call, I think, at the number one spot. I think the bigger surprise, almost, to immediately get this off our plan, is that Mississippi is number two.
Right.
But let's talk about that decision-making process at 1, 2, and 3, Arizona 1, Ole Miss 2, UCLA 3.
Well, for me, I think moving Arizona up was an easy call.
Kind of a no-brainer.
You know, I mean, that to me, that's one of the most impressive weekends in the country, to go on the road to an SEC school, a veteran SEC club, I think, in Georgia, hostile environment. A completely different brand of baseball out there.
Yep.
And, you know, I mean, like I said, that is a veteran club. All three of those weekend starters were back. You know, a lot of guys in that lineup who've been around. It was a competitive series. It was going to be a tough series. Georgia was a borderline top 25 team for
absolutely
us in the year. They really could have been in. So to go on the road across country and win that series, even though you lost your opener with Preston Gilmet getting hit pretty hard, so especially to bounce back from that and show toughness, I thought Arizona was the easy choice at number one.
Good things all around for them. Like you said, they scored runs. That's my biggest concern for Arizona. How good are they going to be offensively?
I think they're going to be pretty darn good.
And the biggest reason we didn't rank them ahead of UCLA was the up-the-middle difference. We liked UCLA better up the middle. They're very similar clubs in terms of their makeup and their strengths and weaknesses. And you know, Arizona played well. And like you said, they were strong offensively against a team with veteran, solid, good pitching coming back in Georgia. Going on the road, very impressive for Arizona. Speaking of Georgia, they're in the SEC, Ole Miss in the SEC,
right.
And we liked Ole Miss very high in the preseason, number four, because of their offense, the best offensive team they've probably had in this recent run of, you know, teams that win regional every year, it seems like. This year's Ole Miss ball club, the best offense they had to go with, you know, the usual
right
good pitching that Ole Miss has, Lance Lynn. That single most impressive individual performance of the weekend might have been Lance Lynn. If it's not Dustin Ackley of North Carolina, it's Lance Lynn of Ole Miss.
For me, those are the two choices. I mean, Lance Lynn striking out 12 over 5 innings, including the first 8 batters of the game. He really, from what I understand, could have gone even deeper, 7 or 8 innings, if not for the fact that he's on an early season pitch count. He was, you know, from the reports that I've gotten, he looked just like he did against Vanderbilt in the SEC tournament. I mean, he's already in peak form. I don't know if that's necessarily a great thing, but
right,
hopefully he can maintain that. But, you know, you're right. Mississippi, we already knew. You kind of take their pitching staff for granted. It's a deep staff
do
with power arms.
You almost do.
And this year they do have, I think, more firepower in that lineup. I think guys like Michael Guerrero and Michael Hubbard, the junior college transfers that they were expecting a lot from, have already stepped in and made their presence felt this weekend, especially especially Guerrero, who I believe had a really big weekend for them. So
it's a deep lineup. That's the main thing. They have star power, guys like Overbeck, but they also have depth, and that's something they've had star power in the past. They haven't always had a 1-9 lineup, and this year I think they had their best balance of pitching, defense, and hitting. That's why we ranked them so high in the preseason.
And just one other thing, them versus UCLA, you know, it's just a matter of Mississippi sweeps Minnesota at home, and I think
we have respect for Mississippi's program. For Minnesota's program.
Minnesota, I think, and Oklahoma are pretty comparable. Both teams that are kind of bubble teams for the NCAA tournament, in my opinion, coming into the season. Those are kind of, you know, maybe scrapping for an at-large spot. And Mississippi swept and did it in dominating fashion, whereas UCLA, they won their first game in dramatic fashion.
Right.
They lost a close game in extra innings, and then they, you know, had one rained out. That's too bad. But 1-1, you know, just not as impressive as 3-0.
And not as impressive as Arizona going on the road to win a series. It's the Baseball America College Podcast. He's Aaron Fitt. I'm John Manuel. We will do this every Monday, so strap yourselves in because it's going to be a great college baseball season. The marquee matchup of the weekend going in, Aaron, was Long Beach State and Rice. Preseason number 13 in the Dirtbags, number 14 the Owls. And that series played out according to form. I know we're sticking a little bit to the West Coast, but what a great series that must have been to go to and both teams with outstanding individual efforts on the mound. The Dirtbags come out with that victory in winning 1-0, 3-2, and losing 3-1. That's just Blair Field in February, I guess. I mean, Blair Field probably any time of year. Pitching defense at a premium, and I think the key here, to one big thing that jumps out to me is Danny Espinosa having a big weekend for Long Beach State. Scouts don't necessarily like Danny Espinosa's bat, but Mike Weathers and the Dirtbags do. That guy's a really good college hitter, and he's probably their best hitter along, you know, for their team, for present metal bat ability. He had 7 home runs last year, and because of the 2 big hits this week, I think he had a game-winning RBI in one game and scored the game-winning run in the other. So, Long Beach State, Risa, what jumps out at you from that series?
Well, a couple of things, John. I think Andrew Liebel, first of all, on Friday night for Long Beach, probably the least known name out of the starters in this series.
Because right.
You've got guys like Barry and St. Clair and Worley, who I think maybe are a little bit higher profile. But
even Jake Thompson, the freshman, Thompson, you know, who skipped his high school senior year, kind of has a little more notoriety than the average freshman.
But Andrew Liebel was outstanding, and you know, he's not the biggest guy in the world, but the report we got is that he was, you know, throwing in the low 90s with a, you know, that whippy loose arm action that he's got, and 11 strikeouts over 8 innings is very dominating. I think Long Beach has to be thrilled with his pitching. Vance Worley was very good on Saturday in another win against Cole St. Clair and Rice. And then on Sunday, Jake Thompson in his debut. This is a freshman who should be a senior in high school,
right,
like you said.
Right.
Going up against Rice, one of the perennial
an elite program. There's no other way to put it. They are an elite program.
Absolutely. And this kid comes out there and throws 6 innings, allows just 3 runs, 1 earned. I mean, that's really impressive to me, even though they lost that game.
So much for losing Troy Buckley, hurting the Dirtbags, you know.
Yeah. I mean,
losing their pitching coach.
They're going to pitch really well. And Rice, is the other thing we learned, is Rice is also, I mean, we knew this, but Rice is also going to pitch very well. Matt Langwell, a strong start on Sunday, and Ryan Berry typically very strong on Friday.
He was Ryan Berry-esque, and that's right. That is Rice baseball, and I just think our rankings are really interesting in that 8, 9, 10, 11 ranking between Michigan, which did not have Zach Putnam on the mound this weekend, and they still swept. That's interesting, something to keep an eye on, some shoulder tenderness for Zach Putnam. You know, Miami and South Carolina at 9 and 10, which to me are just offensive juggernauts, potentially, and South Carolina really played that way this weekend. Miami did not. Miami kind of held in check by Cincinnati, but then, you know, the Hurricanes pitched very well this weekend, so that's a very encouraging start, I think, for Miami. But then Long Beach is such a contrast to those two teams in front of it in the rankings. Not that they're not capable offensively, and when you don't score a lot of runs against Rice, you just kind of tip your cap. That's Rice baseball. But I think very impressive that they were able to win those low-scoring games. Those are some real contrast, though, in those clubs right in that area of our rankings.
That's a great point, John. And before we go any further, I want to backtrack just a little bit here and talk
backtrack
about
away.
The decision that we had to make with Arizona State and Vanderbilt and what to do with these clubs.
Glad you backtracked, because we had Vanderbilt number 3 preseason, and they ended up going 2-1 on the weekend.
Which
and
is yet a great weekend in a competitive field.
And yet they dropped 4 spots in the rankings, and whereas Arizona, Oregon State in the same tournament dropped 5 spots, going 1-2. Miami of Ohio unranked, going 0-3 in that series, and that's a very difficult weekend for Miami of Ohio. Here opened the season against teams 3-7-9 in the rankings.
Right.
Two teams that went to Omaha last year, but we jumped away. Arizona State up to 6. I think there's still some questions to be answered with Arizona State. They could have jumped up as high as 2 or 3. Heck, if we put them 1, I don't think anybody would have looked askance at it.
No, and you know, I think we did discuss in the meeting today the possibility of putting them at number 3. I think that's probably the highest spot that we realistically would have slotted them. But we just couldn't see jumping them over Missouri and North Carolina, which each went on the road and swept series. And granted, they didn't play the same caliber competition that Arizona State played at home.
Right.
But still, you can't punish North Carolina and Missouri, I think, for taking care of business.
And going on the road. Yeah, going on the road.
And that's it.
Missouri was – it's Stetson, Michigan State, and Connecticut. Those aren't great teams. There's one team there, and Stetson is probably a tournament team.
Yeah.
You could see a scenario where UConn has a big year, but they're in the middle of the pack in the Big East. And North Carolina goes on the road at Florida Atlantic, a very solid program, a couple of nip-tuck games the last 2 games. But the bottom line is both those teams were on the road and swept and went 3-0. And to me, that, you know, you just can't jump Arizona State over those.
And did Arizona State have a more impressive weekend? Of course they did.
I didn't have the best weekend of any top 25 team.
I don't think anyone would argue with you, even not people in Tucson, maybe.
Right, right.
But, you know, I just think that we have to stick a little bit to our guns here. I mean, if there's a reason North Carolina and Missouri are ranked higher, and a lot of it has to do with pitching and fewer question marks, I think, up the middle.
Correct.
And so we stuck with that. We stuck Arizona State at number six. Clearly, we like Arizona State. There's a lot to like there.
Absolutely.
And Vanderbilt, you know, again, you go 2-1 the weekend, you drop four spots. It's a strange week, but it's
home mechanics.
Home mechanics. I mean, when you lose 18-6 against Arizona State, you can't be ranked ahead of that club.
Right. Well, they you know, we weren't going to rank them ahead of UCLA. They weren't going to jump over UCLA going 2-1 versus UCLA's 1-1, and UCLA was ranked 1 in the preseason. So that's one. Two, Arizona went on the road and won a series. They're not going to be ahead of Arizona. Ole Miss, which was behind them, sweeps the series very impressively. They weren't going to be ahead of Ole Miss. Are they going to be ahead of North Carolina and Missouri? I thought those were good weekends for those two teams. And then the next closest team to them is Arizona State. They played them head-to-head. Arizona State pounded them. You kind of have to rank Arizona State. So the polls early in the season especially are more fluid now than they're going to be later. So Vanderbilt fans, fear not. We still think very highly of your club at number seven. I think we thought there was a pretty nice delineation in this top seven. But Arizona State's question, the reason we ranked them nine in the preseason, I don't think they're the ninth most talented team. I think that they have to prove to me and to prove to you and to prove to everybody here at Baseball America at this compacted schedule, that their pitching can handle that compacted schedule. So they didn't answer that question in this first weekend. Did they answer really any questions? No, their offense is really doggone good.
We knew their offense was good. We knew Mike Leake and Josh Sautau were good.
So, absolutely.
So what did we learn here? I mean, you know, there's a couple other.
They are who we thought they were.
They are who we thought they were. We thought they would be good. I mean, and they got a couple of good performances in the bullpen. Give them credit, guys like Reyes Dorado, the newcomers. I mean, they could be solid in the bullpen, but I do still think they really need Jason Jarvis to remain eligible.
Absolutely, and that's a huge question mark, and Jason Jarvis is eligible for now is the way they're wording it out there.
On that.
And there's a disputed class in the fall, it sounds like, and if they have him, then there's their best arm.
Right.
And if they don't have him, they're without their best arm, and then they would also be without their best freshman arm in Fuller, you know, a freshman right-hander out of Arizona who, you know, he's right there with Seth Blair for their best freshman arm. So that would be a huge hit for the Sun Devils, and that's one of the reasons why they were number nine in the preseason. Is
right.
Jason Jarvis is always questionable. They didn't get until March last year.
And they were worried about this even in December. They were worried about him and Fuller. They knew it then. So now let's move on, John, to talk about the big series down in San Diego.
That was the other one.
Diego and San Diego State. You know, really, I think probably the most surprising event of the weekend is San Diego State just pounding what should be the best or one of the best pitching staffs in the nation. I mean,
I think in the preseason when we lined them up, we thought maybe it's Missouri 1, San Diego 2.
Arizona, Missouri, and San Diego were the three staffs.
That's it.
I like San Diego's the best out of those.
Yeah. I mean, it's one. You know, all three of those are in contention, and then you see San Diego, which you know just last week talked to Rich Hill over via email about their preparation, and Rich Hill's like, it's been, you know, low 70s, perfect weather out here. Inter-squatting, we are ready to go from day one. And apparently not, because the Aztecs completely took it to them. And for the first time in Tony Gwynn's six-year tenure with the Aztecs, there's a lot of encouraging signs. You have Steven Strasburg's development into a true number one, and he shoved it.
He was outstanding on Friday.
He shoved it in the opener, and then you have just the offensive onslaught by the Aztecs all weekend. And this is a team that's got a star and Nick Romero, their third baseman.
Right.
They're pretty solid up the middle. They got an impact transfer in Eric Castro. They got an impact freshman in Corey Vaughn. They have the potential. They've always had talent, but they have the potential. And then this weekend, for the first time, really, you'd say, in Tony's six seasons there, they acted on their potential. They played up to their potential. Very, very encouraging for the Aztecs and really worrisome, I think, for San Diego that they just did not get it done. 37 runs in three games, just astounding. That should be 2 weeks with this pitching staff.
Yeah, and you know, I was surprised to see San Diego put up 17 on in one of those games because San Diego not a particularly offensive club, and they were shut down in the two other games this weekend. But one other thought on San Diego State, which we brought into the rankings at number 22. You know, you mentioned Romero and those guys, but Hanzawa and Garrett, Troy Hanzawa and Garrett Green are the two guys up the middle who both had very big weekends for this club. Troy Hanzawa, I think, taking that next step, he's hitting in the three-hole. He had a couple of three-hit games for them. I mean, if he and Green can keep this up, this is a very, very good lineup, as evidenced by what they did this weekend against very good pitching. And I think they've got the arms, too. I mean, I think San Diego State could be a fast mover here. We'll see what happens this weekend in that big USD tournament against some more ranked teams.
Yeah, Choi Hanzawa can really defend. He's a transfer out of he started his career at Hawaii. He's a fifth-year player. He played 2 years at Yavapai Junior College. And he's a very good defender, not known for his offense, but a big weekend. I just think it helps to have fifth-year players. Real quick, we're going to wrap up this Baseball America College podcast with talking a little bit about the back of the rankings. San Diego State jumps in at 22. Oklahoma State jumps in at 21, Aaron. And this team probably got more impact transfers, four-year transfers, than any other team. They should get more bang for their four-year transfers than pretty much any other team.
Matt Hague
had a huge weekend this weekend.
We were talking about this morning, John. I think we both think it's a foregone conclusion that Matt Hague is going to have a monstrous season at that ballpark in that offense.
Allie P. Reynolds
to begin with.
Allie P. Reynolds is an offensive ballpark. This is a significant hitter. He's getting out of the Pac-10. No offense to the Big 12, but he's getting out of the Pac-10. He's going from a tough park to hit in at UW. Where they know how the rings look, going to Oklahoma State, where the offense is going to flow. Should be a big year for Matt Hague. I believe we had him as the number 3 or 4 senior on the whole board. He could vault himself up to number 2 when it's all said and done. Fresno State stays in the rankings. Lafayette stays in the rankings. They're kind of a push weekend for those two teams, going 2-2. They both fall down a little bit. We add, as we said, San Diego State, Oklahoma State, and then Cal State Fullerton, the Titans, with not an overpowering performance, but a good series win to go on the road at TCU. They were, you know, right there with Georgia and Southern Cal and Stanford and Cal and a lot of these other teams we had kind of in that 26-35 mix coming out of our preseason rankings. And I think it's evident that Cal State Fullerton's, I'll just throw it out there, Dave Serrano is a really, really, really good coach. They have to keep that up. There is talent there, it's just very young, and we'll see how that team goes from week to week, really. With managing it, but right now Dave Serrano gets his team off to a great start by going to TCU and winning 2 out of 3.
And Greg Bergeron, I mean, Serrano, I think, has obviously a reputation as a pitching guru, but
yep.
Greg Bergeron runs a very good offense, and we saw that last week with UC Irvine and Omaha. I mean, that's a very disruptive team, and he does kind of the same thing at Fullerton. You know, they're going to put a lot of pressure on the defense, and they've got some personnel where they can be dangerous. I mean, Gary Brown started his first game on Sunday and stole a couple of bases, got a couple of hits. I mean, he's a potentially explosive player. And Eric Komatsu is really the guy who I think is potentially the key to this whole thing. A junior college transfer who comes in as a junior. He's got some experience, and he clearly can hit an awful lot, and he did so this weekend.
I like Josh Fellauer, the holdover sophomore.
Guy, right?
That's the other like kind of dynamic player, a guy who's got a chance. I mean, this team does have new talent. They did lose Clark Hartman. They did lose John Curtis. They lost talent up the middle. They lost catcher in center field. They lost two of their biggest bats. They lost experience. They lost some talent. They had a lot to replace, but Komatsu, it's key for them to get a big bat to come in and replace the likes of a Nick Mahan or those kind of guys to fortify their lineup, which frankly was very inconsistent last year.
And the big thing, the loan, I guess, well, not the loan, but one of the major question marks that remains for me about Cal State Fullerton is the weekend rotation after Jeff Kaplan. And I'd like to see Corey Arbiso, put together a consistent stretch here. I mean, Adam Jorgensen is a veteran on Sundays. I think he'll be okay. They've got some good arms. I mean, Daniel Rentkin, the freshman, was very good this weekend. So,
good for him.
That was encouraging.
He's
for
a key
them.
Arm for them. So the Titans, we didn't leave them out of the top 25 lightly in the preseason.
Yeah.
But very good, impressive weekend for them to go on the road. I think biggest storylines for me, really, Aaron, Ole Miss just being that impressive. San Diego State shocking San Diego like that. And then Arizona State's just a mind-blowing offensive performance by the Sun Devils. So a really exciting first weekend in college baseball.
Those are the storylines. And my last thought, John, before we wrap it up here, is just Lafayette versus Oral Roberts was the other, I think, major discussion we had today. Went down to that UTSA tournament and won 4 games, including one against Lafayette. The Raging Cajuns, meanwhile, started well. They won their first 2, and then they dropped 2. So certainly, you look at that and you say, "Oh, Roberts, how can they not be ranked if Louisiana Lafayette is ranked?"
Well,
the fact of the matter is, we're giving Louisiana Lafayette a little bit of a pass. I mean, they didn't completely tank. They did win 2 games.
Right.
They are, I think, still the more talented team. Although I like Oral Roberts, I think they're dangerous. I don't think there's any question that Louisiana Lafayette is the more talented team. So we left
according to what
rankings.
We know right now, absolutely, we think that
we think they're the more talented team.
Right,
on paper.
Right. Lafayette, you know, to me, it's not like Arizona State and Vanderbilt. Arizona State was 9 preseason, Vanderbilt was 3. Those two teams were very close together, and that head-to-head really mattered. You know, Oral Roberts is what they are. They dominate their league, now called the Summit League. They dominate that league. They win 40-some games a year. They're one of the hardest teams to gauge how good they really are. Year in and year out, they play a good non-conference schedule, as good as they can play. Year in and year out, it's more and more difficult for them to schedule anybody. Teams are scared of them. You don't want to lose to them. It's a difficult RPI game because their conference schedule is terrible. Their conference RPI is awful. So they're the hardest team in the country to get a sense of how good they really are. And I don't apologize for realizing how difficult it is to know how good Oral Roberts is. And it's really just nobody's fault.
Right.
But I know Oral Roberts won a regional in 2006. That's almost something that I should factor in more. Maybe it's just my experience here when I was beat writer on the college beat. And I factor that in a little bit too much, and I should give them more credit for that. But in my head, I kind of have an Oral Roberts, very good team, respect the program, really respect the fact that USA Baseball has named Rob Walton to be their head coach this summer. It's another stamp of approval for that program. Respect the job Sonny Galloway did there and all that, but I guess I just need to see them do it again. In my mind, I just have this Oral Roberts. I'm more skeptical of them, and I wait a little bit longer on them. Plus, Lafayette was number 19 in the preseason for a reason for us. So that's kind of where I come from on it. That's the way it is. I respect their program, but they have to prove it to me a little bit more than just one weekend.
And the good news, I guess, for Oral Roberts, John, is that they will have a chance to prove it to you in the next few weeks. They've got a very competitive non-conference schedule. I mean, they've got, a 3-game series at Pepperdine and some good midweek games. And we'll know a lot more about Oral Roberts in the next few weeks here. But one thing we do know is that they've got a legitimate ace on the rise in sophomore Jerry Sullivan, a New Jersey kid, Tommy John survivor, who's really coming into his own. He had a great start this weekend for them, so that's one name to keep an eye on.
Yeah, it's a good, like we said, it's a good program, but so was Lafayette. So, yes. And again, 25 teams. It's a lot easier to name 64 teams at the end of the year. there are too few teams to do 64 at the end of the year, and then there are too many teams that rank just 25. But that's why we get paid the big bucks, Aaron, is to make those difficult decisions at the College Top 25. And that's why you guys download the podcast to try to understand why we made those decisions. So we'll do it again next week. Great job this weekend, Aaron, on the weekend preview and the tracker. It's all up at baseballamerica.com. Our college baseball coverage is, if nothing, it's passionate and thorough. That's what we try to be. So until next week's podcast, Aaron, thanks for the time. We'll see you guys back here next week. If you have questions, send them in at podcast@baseballamerica.com. Until then, so long, everybody.